Wouldn't it be great if God moved in a sweeping way and brought revival? Dr. Karen Ellis says, we need to pray.
Every single advance of the kingdom in the New Testament is preceded by prayer. And when I'm opening up the scripture now and I'm seeing like prayer, 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 kingdom prayer.
You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. I'm Dana Gresh. Welcome to the inaugural edition of Revive Our Hearts Weekend. Revive Our Hearts is a program for women featuring the teaching of Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth or conversations she's had with friends. It's a podcast and a radio program heard every weekday. We're now into our 20th year of broadcasting, and we're so excited to launch this program, Revive Our Hearts Weekend. It's a way to hear highlights from each week's Revive Our Hearts program in a new format. Now, Nancy, it's October, so of course that means the flavor of the month is pumpkin spice everything. Nancy, do you know they have pumpkin spice bacon?
I did not know that, but I'm not sure that that's something we really want to have in our house.
No, I feel like I should say my sisters this ought not to be. But, you know, here at Revive Our Hearts, the month of October is going to have a strong flavor too. And the flavor is cry out.
Yeah, and it's such a timely theme, something we need all the time, but especially as our world is in such upheaval and turmoil. As our team was praying and seeking the Lord, we felt that we wanted to devote this entire month to call women around the world to cry out individually and collectively to the Lord. And we're going to be talking a lot about that theme over this next month. There'll be teaching, there'll be interviews. We're going to go back to the Word, which tells us over and over again that we're to cry out. I'm looking at a list of those verses right now. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. And again and again and again through Scripture, we see the need to cry out, which, of course, Dana assumes that there's some sense of desperation. And I think that's been growing in our hearts and that many of us are ready to cry out in a new way to the Lord.
I know I am. And what we want to do this month is not only motivate you and encourage you to cry out to the Lord with us, but move this message beyond the airwaves, out of the podcast, into your home, and invite you to be a part of a 31-day prayer challenge. We'd like to send you really a devotion every day that takes you to some of these scriptures that encourage us to cry out and how to cry out, written by some of your familiar friends here at the Revive Our Hearts Ministry. And all you need to do is sign up for that. Give us your email. It's our gift to you. It's our encouragement to you. We want to resource you, give you the tool to actually get into the work of crying out to God on behalf of your family, your nation, your church, this broken, broken world.
And you can sign up for that by going to reviveourhearts.com. There's a banner there. It'll be really clear. And you say, yes, I want to receive those emails. And then you can share those with others, with your small group, with the women in your church, with other friends. And let's join together in crying out to the Lord over these next days, believing that there really is a God who hears the cries and the prayers of His people, and that through our crying out, God is going to be moved to work in our world to advance His kingdom in a powerful way.
You know, Nancy, you were sharing with me that as God was laying it on your heart to launch this cry out initiative this month, He led you to what you felt was the right person to help launch us into this month. Tell us about her.
Yes, Karen Ellis was really on my heart as this began to unfold. And Karen is a fairly new friend, but I have followed her ministry for a number of years. She was scheduled to speak at True Woman 20, and then we have had to postpone that event. But I've gotten to hear her heart, to know her, and I've been so blessed, encouraged, and challenged. Thank you, Karen, for being a part of this conversation.
Thank you so much. You have no idea what an honor it is for me to be included in this series. I'm the least of these, especially when it comes to something like prayer. I consider myself a learner, but I'm very excited to just spend this time with you, both of you, and learn some things together.
Karen, you're passionate about theology and human rights and global religious freedom. If you follow Karen on Twitter, you'll often see her bringing to our attention what's happening with our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world. And sometimes here in the United States, we forget all about that. But Karen, you don't forget those who are suffering, and you keep bringing them to our attention. Karen is the director of the Edmiston Center for the Study of the Bible and Ethnicity, which is housed at Reformed Theological Seminary in Atlanta. And Karen, I think the thing that really captured my attention over these last few months as I've followed you on social media and as we've had conversations is, in the midst of our world being in a state of like total chaos, I said to you the other day, I said, Karen, you're saying things that I hardly hear anybody else saying. You took a little bit of a hiatus from social media, and when you came back, you were talking a lot about prayer, and it seemed that you got some pushback, even from well-meaning Christians, like, okay, prayer is, of course, that's important, but we need to do something. We need to do more. And you kept coming back and going, no, prayer is action. Mm-hmm. It's not something we add to action. Prayer is action. And that is something that has really captured my thinking as I've been watching and listening to what you're saying.
Every single advance of the kingdom in the New Testament is preceded by prayer. Mm. And when I'm opening up the scripture now and I'm seeing like prayer, 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 kingdom prayer. One of the things I'm working on, I'm doing a research project on the Moravians and their 100 years of prayer and how the Lord unfolded an enormous movement out of that that spread the gospel around the Caribbean through the first African-led congregation in the Americas. They were a product of that. And so I guess it's just causing me to have a sort of different take and see things through a different lens, that it's hard for me to go back to that argument that prayer is not action. I mean, I would challenge anybody who would say prayer is not action, or prayer is passive, or prayer is, you know, it's the wimp's way out. I would challenge them to go through scripture and look at all the places where people called out to God and find one place where he didn't move.
Wow. Mm. So what has it looked like for you to be praying with some of these friends, these people that God has connected your heart with? What do you see God doing? I know you've had a kind of a front row seat to some of what God is doing in stirring up his people to cry out to him. Give us a glimpse of some of what you've seen in that.
Wow. It sounds kind of redundant, but we've been praying for prayer. We've been praying for prayer and praying for God to help us find the people of prayer and peace. And actually, a big part of it seems to be laying down our idols, laying down the things that we have allowed to replace the Lord with in our heart. And so, you know, there's probably much, much more going on that I'm not, that I have no idea, but it just seems that something is happening. Something is stirring the church to pray. And we have been praying in an online prayer group, a global prayer group, like I'm sure some of you guys are affiliated with and participating in. We've been praying in one for God to stir his people to kingdom prayer. So pray for prayer. Praying for prayer is probably the most important thing we can do right now.
You know, my heart is about to burst because what I'm sensing, it's almost like a eureka moment for me. And I think that you've described this. How can you walk with the Lord for 25 years and suddenly be awakened to prayer? I feel like at this moment, I'm hearing the point of it is the prayer. Hello? The point of it is the prayer. The point of it is not what are we going to get out of the prayer. And so many times we come to God. And my question I want to ask you right now, and I'm not going to, but the one I want to ask you is, well, what happened after you gathered in that dilapidated building? How did God move? Who came next? But I'm sensing this satisfaction that you came and you were with God, and that was the point. And maybe that's why the Lord's letting things fall apart, do you think?
Sure. I think the most significant change was in us, or at least in me. I can speak for myself. That was where the most significant change was. You know, when the children of Israel cried out, you know, Lord, we don't want to go if you don't go with us, you know? I think that the folks that we're meeting, from whom we're learning, are sensing that there's always a cultural moment coming after the moment that you're in. Cultural moments are like Pez dispensers. You know, there's always another one. You flip the head back, there's another one. There's another one, you know? And we don't know what the next cultural moment is going to be. But if we become a people of kingdom prayer, not prayer centered on, you know, politics or culture, but on kingdom, if we become a kingdom of prayer, we may be a little bit better prepared for whatever is coming, even as our hearts are being stirred to the most basic, confessing our idols and laying them down. And so I'm content to sit in that space. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't go and respond to my community's needs and continue doing the work of the kingdom and the mercy ministry and all of those things. That doesn't mean that I stop all of that and just commit everything to prayer. We're not talking about a kind of monastic existence here. I think what we're talking about is making that central.
Yeah.
Asking God, where are we going as a people? What are we doing as a people? How are we responding as a people in a way that comports with the kingdom that you're building, not the kingdoms we want to see?
Can I ask a personal question?
Sure.
What are some of the idols the Lord has confronted your heart with?
Okay. Well, you want to go there. Okay. One of my biggest idols is people. And I know that probably sounds strange coming from a person who presents as very strong, but I'll tell you a secret. Most people who present as strong struggle with that kind of, am I accepted? What if I do something and I'm not accepted? What if God calls me to do something and I get canceled? What if God calls me to do something and it puts me in the out group? Am I content with all of that? So for me, one of my idols is fear of man. But I tell you another thing. You can just go to, what are our cultural idols? Go to the mall next time when the pandemic is over and and COVID is no more. Go to the mall and walk around and ask God to show you what our cultural idols are. They are displayed very well in the mall. The things that have captured our hearts. You know, walking the mall, prayer walking the mall is a great thing because you're like, oh my goodness, there are all the idols. There's the temple. You know, and it really exposes where our affections lie. What are yours?
Well, I just feel like the Lord has stripped me of them during this pandemic.
Ooh.
You know, the approval I get when I travel and get to minister to other people, the security I feel that my bank account is sure and the paycheck is coming. We don't know that right now. We don't know that anymore. Even just some of the entertainment and pleasures, football games are canceled in my hometown, which, Penn State University, we have blue blood when we're born. Everything is stripped. And for whatever reason, it hurts and it feels right all at the same time because God is letting me see what needs to come away so that I will be a woman who is willing to cry out and be satisfied with Him and Him alone.
It takes me back to what I've said for years, and people have listened to Reviver Hearts have heard me say it many times, but anything that makes me need God is a blessing. So we think about the things that have made us need God this year, 2020. So it's COVID and all the changes and adjustments and losses and confusion and polarization around COVID. Adding to that, Robert is now, as many may be aware who are listening, is now on his second bout with cancer since March, going through chemo treatments for the rest of this year. And these were not things we'd planned. They weren't things we'd scheduled. And they've stripped us of any sense of control we had of our schedule or our plans, but they have made us need God. We always needed Him, but I think they've helped us to be more desperate, to be more dependent. It's not been a fun thing for Robert to feel weak and sick. And we wouldn't have thought of health as being an idol, but we had good health. Mm-hmm. So then that gets stripped and we're needing God. So we're crying out to him in a different way. And Karen, I've been so encouraged and helped by your focus. The ultimate goal of our crying out right now is not for things to go back to normal or for health to be restored. Of course, we are praying for that. But above that, higher than that, bigger than that, richer than that, sweeter than that, is a prayer that Christ will be magnified in us, through us. Mm. I'm thinking about some amazing contacts that the Lord has allowed my sweet husband to have, has allowed us to have, a physician that we love dearly that has been a part of our lives, that Robert was on the phone praying with yesterday. Mm. Doors of opportunity opened to glorify Christ, to realize that in our weakness, Christ is strong. Mm. His grace is displayed in our weakness. These are hard things, but they're really good things. Mm. And they're bringing out in us, I think, a new kind of praying that's birthed out of need, out of desperation. Mm-hmm. So what that looks like for you as you're listening today may be very different than what it looks like for Karen or for Dana or for me. In fact, Karen, I'm thinking for the mom who's got, you know, two school-age kids, and there's nothing normal about school right now, and her hands are full. She's trying to do a job. Maybe both parents are having to work and trying to get kids educated, and life just feels upended in chaos, and she doesn't know of any of one of these prayer groups around her. How would you encourage this woman to think, to respond, as we enter into this month of crying out? Speak to the woman that she doesn't have your friends. What can she do to live out what God is stirring, I believe, in her heart right now of wanting to be a part of kingdom praying?
Sis, you're never alone.
Uh-huh.
God has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has promised by his Holy Spirit that even when you're isolated, even when you don't have an ounce of time left in your day, that he's with you. Talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Pour out your heart to him. Well, I'm already doing that. That's wonderful. Do it more.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to pray through Scripture. Start in the Psalms. When we pray God's word back to him, it's a beautiful thing. We pray in agreement with him. You can't say no. Pray in agreement with his word and call out to him. And then ask him to either send you someone or someones, or to give you the boldness to go and find some people and start a small group online. And it may take some time, but that's where my husband and I started. We just started with, God, help us to find others. Help us to find others. And you know, it's not like nobody around us was doing that. There were a whole lot of people around us in our immediate circles. We started one group at our church. We're just meeting on Zoom on Sunday school. You know, more people signed up than I could put into a breakout room, you know, for us to pray in small groups. But God has given us some technology right now to assist us on
this.
Start meeting virtually. You know, it's ironic that you mentioned, both of you have mentioned how this pandemic season has exposed our idols. The pandemic, I've always maintained since it first started, the pandemic is a revealer. It is a revealer.
Mm.
And there is not a single idol that has remained untouched by the pandemic. Our health, our finances, our employment security. I had to stop and say, okay, God, why have you told not just the world, but specifically the church to sit down? What are you saying? And I'm not saying that this is the only thing that he's saying to the church right now, but I'm saying that it has to be one of the things just based on anecdotal evidence that I'm seeing, one of the things that he's saying to us is gather and pray. One of the things I love about leadership training for prayer is they told us the first thing out the gate, don't worry about doing it right. Just get together and pray more than you talk.
Yeah.
Pray more than you talk.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking, could it be that we as a church have had some idols that needed to be stripped away? Maybe our coffee shops in the sanctuary, and maybe our buildings, and maybe our systems and structures and programs are getting in the way of prayer. I'm not saying that those things can't be really useful. Many idols can be good things. It is good that I have a paycheck and can put food on the table for my family, but that can also become an idol. And it is good that we have programs that bring us together as the body of Christ, but are sometimes those things becoming bigger than the act of just being with God and talking to Him.
This conversation with Karen was longer than we were able to include on today's broadcast, but you can hear the entire conversation on the podcast form if you go to your Revive Our Hearts app or reviveourhearts.com or wherever you listen to this program. I'm going to ask Karen in just a moment to lead us in prayer to close this time. But first, let me just mention how grateful we are for the prayers and the financial support of God's people who want to see this message and this ministry reach the hearts of women around the world. So if God prompts you as you're praying for this ministry to make a gift to help underwrite the work of Revive Our Hearts this month, you can do that at reviveourhearts.com, or you can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. I love what you said today, that when we pray God's word to Him, He can't say no. He can't say no. So would you just pray and lead us? We're going to join our hearts. Just stop wherever you are if you possibly can. And don't spectate, but lift up your heart with Dana and Karen and me as we in one accord cry out to the Lord. Karen, why don't you lead us?
Thanks, Nancy. I'm going to pray ABC. Audible, brief, and Christ-centered.
Amen.
Our Father, I thank you that we can say Our Father because you've made us one. One people, one tribe, one body, one baptism, one faith. God, help us to pray into, realize, remember that reality, God. God, stir a kingdom prayer among your people. You've set the world on pause. You've set the church on pause around the world. You're able to use this pandemic for your kingdom purposes. God, show us where we're going. Show us what you're doing. Help us to be obedient.
Yes.
Help us to be faithful. Help us to remember we're united as one by your precious blood. And God, we think of Robert, even now, Nancy's beloved, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you would grant him speedy healing, grant him endurance. Lord God,
yes.
Be the lifter of his head when he feels discouraged, God. Carry him when he feels too tired. Lord, I thank you that you wrap your arms around both of them. I pray that you would remind them afresh daily how much you love them. This is all for your glory and your honor and your fame, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for being ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. And let me thank you, our listener, for spending this time with us today. Next weekend, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth takes us to God's Word to show us how to cry out to Him. I hope you'll join us again for Revive Our Hearts Weekend. Revive Our Hearts Weekend reminds you that prayer is action. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.